Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you for your word.
Thank you.
Oh, Lord, your word is so marvelous.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, unsearchable.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, continue to open our eyes this morning to see Amen. More of the riches of Christ.
Amen.
And to partake of all these riches.
Yes. Amen.
Enlighten the eyes of our understanding.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, let us see what the exceeding power of your resurrection is. Lord Jesus, yeah, we pray that we would all, be strengthened and nourished by this word.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I'm so glad. Amen. It's so wonderful to have fellowship about this chapter.
Amen.
Exodus 29. It's amazing. The more I read it, the better it becomes. Hallelujah. It's good. I encourage you to read it a lot. To be fully consecrated to God. Amen. Yeah, I'm really amazed how the word consecration really means filling of hands. Who of us thought of consecration to be meaning filling of hands? I never did. I always thought, okay, I consecrate what my talents are, whatever I can do good, I can give to God and He will make use of it. But it's so wonderful, it's filling of hands, right? The Lord, He wants to fill our hands. The only prerequisite to serve our Heavenly Father is to come empty-handed.
Amen.
This is the only prerequisite. Aaron and his sons, they did not bring anything. And they did also not do anything. I checked the chapters. The only thing that Aaron and his sons are doing is coming and opening their hands. Everything else Moses is taking care of. He fills their hands. He washes them. He clothes them. Everything. Everything is done through Moses. It's amazing. The Lord provides. Yeah. And as a priest, we need to have this kind of a heart. A heart that wants to receive more from the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Last year when I traveled back to Germany, it happened that I was sitting next to a person and I started to speak to him, and it turned out he's a missionary. A missionary to Romania. So he was on his way to Romania. And it was really amazing to hear him speaking about everything that the Lord is doing there. And he came from the time of communism, and he received the Lord in that time. And he told me how many sacrifices he had to do because he believed in Jesus in the time of communism. And it was really impressive to hear what he was sharing. And then I also wanted to share a little bit about what I heard during the conference and the priesthood. And I was overflowing, and I wanted to share about it. But somehow, he was not interested at all, or barely interested. And I realized, okay, he has a mission, he has a mystery. It's okay, it's good. He's bringing the gospel to Romania. But I realized to be a priest, what I need is to have empty hands. I need to be poor in spirit, to ready to receive more of the Lord. Yeah, this is the first thing the Lord said in the so-called Sermon on the Mount, right? The first thing he says, it's a constitution of the heavenly kingdom. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. So if we want to be part of the kingdom of priests, we need to be poor in spirit and ready to receive more of the Lord, hungry for more of the Lord. Yeah. That's why we are here. We're not just here to have more understanding of this chapter and we know what everything means. No, we are here to, we want to receive more of Christ. We want to see the reality of Christ in this word. It's amazing, yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I wanted to give just a little summary of what we heard. There are different offerings that we realize, right? in this consecration process. And basically, there are five different offerings. I shouldn't go too close, huh? And what I realize is Christ, he made one sacrifice, right? Just one. Or his whole life was a sacrifice and then he died on the cross. But to describe everything that he did, it takes all these different kinds of offerings. One offering is not enough to describe what Christ did. His complete work, it needs so many details that we may apprehend what he accomplished and what it means for us also to become like him. Yeah. And we saw, right, the sin offering. Okay, I don't go too close. I will just say here. I just you can read it yourself. I'll just say here. So right, we have the sin offering, which really puts an end to sin, right? Our sinful nature, I put a cross there. Sin is crossed out. We have been crucified with Christ. And not only that, we had the burnt offering, which showed we are also crucified to ourselves. Right? And we are there for the will of God. And then we had the consecration offering, the ram of consecration, whose blood was taken to do what? To consecrate the ears, to consecrate the thumb and the right toe, right? And it's really good. Our whole being, everything that we are, is consecrated to him. The Lord, he bought us with his blood. He shed his blood to buy us. We belong to him. Yeah. And it's really applicable. One application that the Lord is always reminding me is that my thumb is bought for the Lord. And when I look in on my day, what do I do with my thumb? What do I do? So many times I'm reminded when I'm typing, I look at my thumb and I realize, hey, my thumb is bought from the Lord. There's the blood of the Lord on my thumb. So I cannot click anywhere I want. I cannot just type whatever I want. My thumb belongs to the Lord. And we should only do things that are pleasing to him. So, I think most of the time we use our thumb, right? For typing. It's good. So, it's really good. We can tell the Lord, Lord, I consecrate my thumb to you. And we can do a lot of good things also with this thumb, right? We can also use the phone for good things. And it's all consecrated to the Lord. That's why I enjoyed the ram of consecration. It's not just putting an end to the bad things, but we give it for the positive, for the work of the Lord. Yeah. And we briefly read yesterday during the feast about the grain offering, right? Which signifies Christ's humanity. Yeah, we are really in need of his humanity. Our humanity is really fallen, but Christ's humanity is so marvelous, is so wonderful, and it is mixed with oil. Yeah, he was fine flour mixed with oil. Yeah, and he was such a man, the perfect man. He had the perfect humanity for us also to gain and to partake of. Yeah, so now we saw, okay, we have these four offerings. Is there any more need of another one? Why is there another one? This is also already pretty good, right? I mean, this is dealing with many, many things already. So why is there a wave and a heave offering? What is this wave and a heave offering? I don't know if anyone already asked himself. Maybe we can just read the verses from Exodus 29, verses 26 to 28. Then you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. And from the ram of consecration you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering which is waved, and the thigh of the heave offering which is raised, of that which is for Aaron, and of that which is for his sons, shall be from the children of Israel, for Aaron and his sons, by a statute forever. For it is a heave offering, it shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, that is their heave offering to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yep. All clear? No. That's why we have fellowship. Hallelujah. Okay, so 26, he says, you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord. Yes, so he has to take the breast. The breast. So what does what is in our breast? What is under here?
Our hearts,
right? And the breast of the ram of consecration, it symbolizes the love of Christ. And especially also, I will it's pretty simple. It's a wave offering. So it is waved. It is waved back and forth. It's waved like this. That's the motion they did. It's kind of like this, but also a little bit upward. Like this, yeah. So what does it signify? The resurrection. Yes. So Christ, he was, how could you say it? He was waved out of death, right? He was swung out of death. He was dead, but death could not hold him. He came out and was such a strong power when he came out, right? Even the stones, they got moved away and he came out. There was really a power in his resurrection, right? And so this breast, it signifies the power of his resurrection in his love. Yeah. And we will read a few verses to understand more what this means. Yeah. So first, before going there, I want to read a verse from 1 Corinthians 15, 26. 1 Corinthians 15. This verse shows what the final enemy is, the last enemy. So we have many problems, we have many enemies. We have sin, we have self, we have our fallen humanity, we have many problems. But the Bible also shows us what is the last, the biggest, the strongest enemy. Did you ever think about that? What is the biggest problem, the final, the most difficult problem to overcome?
Yes.
Let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 15, 26. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. So it says here, the last enemy. So this is the most difficult to win against, right? It's like when in all the games that you play, there's always this final boss, right? And it's the hardest one to fight against, right? So which one is the hardest to fight against for us Christians? It's death. Here it says the last enemy is death. And so what is this death? Is it just this physical death? there is also spiritual death. Yeah. And Paul is describing this. We already had a little bit of these verses in Romans 7. He is describing this form of spiritual death in Romans chapter 7. There he says, I start in verse 19. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Yeah. So he wants to do good. He wants to do the will of God. He wants to be obedient to God's law. But he says he doesn't do it. He cannot do it. He practices what is evil even. And what is the problem? The problem is in verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Yeah. He didn't say here the body of sin, which is, it is of course a body of sin, but he says here it's the body of death. And this death is my incapability of doing God's will. This is death. He wants to do God's will, but he cannot do it. This is death. How often do we want to do God's will, but we are not capable? We know we should read the Bible, for example. Or we know we should pray now. Or we know we should praise the Lord. But sometimes you just are incapable. What is this? This is death. This is spiritual death. Yeah. And also in Ephesians 4, he also speaks about death. And starting in verse 14, he said that we should, as Christians, we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Yeah. That was what, verse 18. He said here, we should not walk like the Gentiles. So we can, as Christians, we can walk like the Gentiles. In futility of their mind, just thinking about vanity. Just thinking about my everyday life, day in and day out. My things. And then it says, this is, and the understanding is darkened. And then he says, being alienated from the life of God. You are void of the life of God, far away from the life of God. God is so wonderful, so good. And all we think about are just random worldly things. This is so far away from God's life. Alienated from the life of God. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling. Yeah, it's past feeling. You become insensitive to the life of God. Your spirit doesn't react anymore to things that God doesn't like. Or just, he said here, futility of the mind, right? You don't even have a reaction. Yeah. Your whole life turns about vain things, and there is no reaction in you. This is past feeling. Feelings are gone. A dead person doesn't feel anything anymore, right? Go to a dead person. Try to poke him. Will he react? No. So death means we are insensitive to God speaking. There's no reaction anymore when God speaks to us. Yeah. And yes. We should never be past feeling. And that's why, praise the Lord, we have the wave offering. And this is really the solution of coming back to the life of God. Yes. And I want to show this. So, what should the priests do with the sacrifice? What should they do with the wave offering? We just read it. They should eat it. They should eat it. So they should partake of this wave offering. They should eat it. This is their portion. This is what God has given to them for them to eat, to partake. Yeah. It's their portion. I really like that. It says here, it shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by a statute forever. The Lord has given the priest this wave offering. And how can we, what does it mean to eat this wave offering? How can we eat this wave offering? What does it mean? And when you eat, right, you partake. You take something in, right? It becomes part of you. All that is outside of you, when you eat, it becomes part of you. And the same thing we need to do with the Word of God, right? And there are many wonderful verses that show how we can partake of the power of Christ's resurrection. Yeah, in Ephesians 1, it starts in verse 18. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and then... Yeah, this is the next part is good, but I want to emphasize verse 19, where it says, having your eyes being enlightened, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Amen. Yes. It's wonderful. The Lord wants to enlighten our eyes. Yes. What the exceeding greatness of his power is. Yeah. Toward us. And then he says what? Toward us who believe. So how can we partake of this wave offering? How can we partake? It is us who believe. This eating means I take this word that is written here and I mingle it with faith. I read it with faith. This is partaking of the wave offering. Yeah, he says here, it is the power that worked in Christ when he was raised from the dead. This power, imagine this power of Christ coming back from the dead. It is working in us who believe.
Amen.
Amen. So sometimes it's really good just to take these verses by faith.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, he continues in chapter 2, right? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he had loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I love this connection here. It says here, by his great love. This reminds us of the breast, right? The breast of the wave offering. It signifies this love, and how does this love... how can we experience it? It is when we are made alive with him. This is what his love does. His love saved us from death.
Amen.
I remember still the first time when a brother shared about that. I was like, okay, he was sharing, okay, you can partake, you can take this wave offering, this power of resurrection, and the Lord has given it to you. And I was like, really? I can just always come to him and take this and experience this? Yes. Because the Lord, he wants us to see in resurrection.
Amen.
He doesn't want us to see in death. This is... Only the devil wants to see us in death. Only him. He wants to see us dead and then tell us, oh, you deserved it to be dead. Right? And that's why there's also Romans 8. Romans 8 is a, there is, in the end, this is a passage on the wave offering. Romans 8. Many know these verses, but it's, they are so precious, especially when we see this in the light of the wave offering. It says here, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Yeah, so this signifies all God has given his son. He did not spare his son. He gave Christ as all these offerings. And he has given us in Christ all things, right? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Right? This is the devil. He wants to condemn us. He wants to bring charge against us. But then it says here, "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen." Right? This also shows again this resurrection. Christ has been died for us and he rose again for us. And he's even at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Yeah. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" This is the wave offering. The love of Christ. Who shall separate us from this wave offering? It's a statute forever for the priests. It's their part. It's their portion. No, not tribulation, he says. Not distress, persecution. Not all of these things. They cannot take away this portion of the priests. Even if many trials are coming, maybe we feel low, maybe we even have self-pity, all these things, but we need to see this portion, this priestly portion is for us. And we need to take it. We should never let that enemy bring us into the grave. Yes.
That's right.
A priest cannot be in the grave.
Amen.
We are priests of the living God.
Amen.
That's why we have the wave offering. How can you serve the Lord when you're dead? Doesn't work. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living.
Amen.
So God, he really wants us to be in resurrection. Amen. The only way you can serve God is when you partake of this wave offering. It's part of our consecration. He has given it to us. So we also need to partake of it. Praise the Lord. Yes, he says, "For your sake we are killed all day long." This is how it feels sometimes, right? We want to press on, but there's so much frustration. The enemy comes, we are killed even all day long. But then he says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." This is again the breath. It is his love that makes us more than conquerors. That brings us out of death. And that's why the song that we sung in the beginning, it was really fitting. It's by his great love, by his great mercy, that makes us alive. And that also makes us want to give ourselves to him. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's another wonderful verse that also shows us. It's Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 6. Yes. I want to just give an impression of how the Lord, he wants to give us this wave offering as our portion, as our priestly portion. Praise the Lord. Song of Songs 8 verse 6. "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm, for love is as strong as death, jealousy as cruel as the grave. Its flames are flames of fire, a most vehement flame." Amen. Yes. especially this part here, for love is as strong as death, or even stronger than death. Amen. There's such a power in this love. It brings, if you love somebody, right, you are willing to do anything, right? You are willing to do whatever it takes, and we can partake of this love of Christ. He was willing to pay everything, and now he's also working this into us. Yeah, it's stronger than death. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Another verse I wanted to show is 1 John chapter 2. There's also some things that want to take away the love toward the Lord, towards the Lord. And it's in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Yeah, I think we know this verse, but it's really an important verse. It says here, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Yes. I realize if I love the world, as it says here, then the love of the Father is not in me. So actually, when I start to love the world, the first problem is that I didn't take part of the love of the Father. If I experience the love of the Father for me, how can I love the world? I'm so full of His love, of His power of resurrection. There is no room to love the world, right? It says here, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we need to make sure that the love of the Father is in us. We need to make sure, because if that love of the Father is in us, we will not love the world. There is no room. That's why it's so good to take part of this wave offering, to eat it. If we eat it, we will not love the world. Sometimes when I read the Bible, I just read it and then I go off and then I do something on my smartphone. But then I realize, did I actually really eat the wave offering right now? Did I really take in this love of the Lord, this power of His resurrection, when right afterwards I go about and do my own business and go back to things of the world? This only shows that somehow I didn't really eat it. I didn't really take it in. So every time we come to this word, when we partake of this, it should fill us so much that we don't want anything else anymore. If I'm full of this food, there is no other room. And I'm so full of this. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. The love of the Father should be in us. Amen. Yes, and then one last point concerning how to partake of this resurrection life and how to overcome death is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. It's also a really practical verse. 14. "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death." Yeah. This is also death. If we do not love our brothers, this is already death. So if I realize in my heart there's something against my brother, something I don't like or something he said, and something is coming up in my heart, this is abiding in death. Do you want to abide in death? No. And then he says here, how do we pass from death to life? How do we do it? It says, because we love the brethren. This is also we, when we love one another and we take care of one another, this is coming from death to life. And the Lord will supply all that we need.
Yes, amen. Praise the Lord.
And then, that was the wave offering. And, oh, how much time do I have? It's already over?
It's okay. No, it's fine. We have another
15 minutes. Okay, I don't make it too long, but it's so good. That's why. So the heave offering, right? The heave offering, as the name suggests, is heaving, lifting. Lift offering would be maybe better. Lift up offering. You like to do lifting? This is the true lifting. Lift up the heave offering. What does this signify? It's signifying the ascension of Christ. Christ, he did not stay on this earth, right? He ascended. Oftentimes we think, oh, why didn't the Lord stay on earth? Right? Would be better. Maybe. No, it's better that he ascended. He ascended where? To the Father, to the throne of God. It's amazing. It's really good that he did not stay on this earth. Because when he ascended up, he could do many more things. I really enjoy the last two verses of the Gospel of Mark. I don't know if we ever paid attention to these verses, but I really love them. Mark, the last two verses of Mark. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was raised up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. I really love this verse because it shows the Lord ascended, but his disciples, they were so one with the ascended Christ on the throne. I love how it says here, the Lord was working with them. And he was doing so many things with them, through them. Yes, he was up there, but the Lord was working in them. In his capacity on the throne. And this heave offering is so important for us as priests. How can we carry out God's work on this earth? We cannot do anything if not Christ on the throne is with us. It's impossible. I cannot do anything without him, right? I cannot even bring one soul to him. It's impossible. Only through Christ who came and sat down at the right hand of God, it is possible to carry out God's work. And I also really enjoy in the book of Acts, in the beginning of the book, they after Christ ascended, they were praying for 10 days, right? And it reminded me of the consecration. They consecrated themselves for 10 days. And it is written they were only praying, or mostly praying. And then, in the end, after the 10th day, the Lord poured out His Spirit, and the work of the Lord started here on earth. And they started to do His will on earth. They were one with the ascended Christ on the throne. And so many things happen. You know the book of Acts. This is their having the experience of Christ as the heave offering. So many things happen, so many persecutions and problems, and many enemies, but they attacks, but they were so one with the Christ on the throne. Nothing could hold them back. Doors were open, right? And it's amazing. And for us today, it's also important to have this experience. Not just that we have a spectacular life with many miracles, but especially, I realized to serve the Lord as priests. We need this resurrection and ascension power to serve our Father as priests. I was reminded of, for example, Acts chapter 4. You may know this chapter. I will not go through all of it, but it's here starting in verse 23. This is the prayer for boldness. I really like this prayer. Because they, when they were praying, they were really one with the ascended Christ on the throne. They had many problems. They, some were taken, were arrested. But then they started to pray, right? Starting in 24, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ." Yes. They took this verse from Psalm 2, which also speaks about Christ being ascended to the throne. They took this verse and applied it to their life and brought it back in prayer to the Lord. And this is really also how our prayer should be. We should have such a vision of Christ on the throne. Nothing is impossible to him. I really enjoyed recently when we have prayer meetings in Germany. It's so much full of the ascension power. We don't just pray our earthly prayers, but it's really we are one with Christ who is on the throne. He brings us up there. It's wonderful. We are just there before the throne, one with Christ. It's amazing. And we should have this experience as priests. Yeah. So this heave offering is also for us to be able to serve as priests, to carry out God's will and purpose on this earth. To take back the earth. Hallelujah. We need to have this faith. And whenever we lose faith, let us be reminded of the wave and the heave offering. Partake of it. Take these verses. Eat them. Consume them. And then, the Lord's will be done on this earth.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I just want to, I want to stand one with my brother and share some little bit light in our practical experiences, you know. One of the priestly services is prayer. But you know that sometimes when we are coming to pray, we feel downcast. Sometimes, especially when you have exercised your mind so much, when you're coming from work, you're like, if you're not dead, but you're very close to the grave, right? Right? You need something to wind you up, right? That's when we need this very important enjoyment of Christ as a wave offering, you know? We need to, because if you don't, you will just sit there and, you know, the prayers become so beggarly, but we need the Lord to, if I may use the word, to activate us. You know, you cannot do so much when you are dead, right? It's our experience in so many ways, even if not in the prayer meeting, even at home. Sometimes there are so many things, they are not sin, but they bring us down. You know those things. These are the times we need this wonderful enjoyment of Christ as a way of offering, to bring us out of this deadness so that we can really pray. And as priests, prayers are not very beggarly. They are fighting. And you need this to be able to function effectively as a priest. And I pray the Lord will open our eyes, because this is so practical. So many times when we want to pray, even when there is no sin, right, you feel a bit condemned because of you're just tired. Yeah? I remember the Lord said, the spirit is willing, yeah? But the flesh is weak, yeah? Then we need the Lord as a resurrection life. Praise the Lord.
I'll just add something very quickly also. Just a small, I guess, small but important detail, very easy to overlook, is that when you read this chapter and also chapter Leviticus 8, you'll see that the ram that is used for the wave and the heave offering, it's the same ram that was killed that had its blood applied to the ear, thumb, and toe. It's the same one. And this ram, this offering is the only one that is not burned up. All the other ones were, the only thing that's burned is the fat, but everything else is not. It's kept for the priest. So it sort of signifies Christ's blood being shed on the cross, the blood being used to sanctify us, but it's not burned up. It's not eliminated like the others, because this one is what comes after the crucifixion. It has to do with resurrection and what happens after that. That's why it's not burnt up on the altar, right? It's what we continue, the priests continue to use and apply afterwards, right? And so that's why it's still kept whole. It's still remaining and used by the priests. All the other offerings, they were given to God, but this one was given to the priests. So very significant, because the Lord doesn't just take, but he also gives us so abundantly, right? And he knows we need it, because the work that he did on the cross, and afterwards, of course, he didn't stay on the cross, he didn't stay in the grave. All that wasn't just a miracle, right? Some Christians just celebrate it as a miracle. But no, it's not just that. It's actually for us, right? For us to use to overcome death, and also for us to use the power that he has on the throne, right? So it's not just him on the throne either, but we are on the throne with him. And this is especially important for us to carry out his work on this earth.
I just wanted to share something briefly. I especially appreciate how it's laid out here with this kind of steps, because it's very much a progression in the whole process of our consecration. And this wave and heave offering are so important for us, particularly, as our brother already mentioned, with the matter of prayer. Does it not say that we ought to pray unceasingly? And also, if you consider in the service of the priests, the ultimate goal is to enter into God's presence. And you also have, at the end of the tabernacle, the first portion, you have the incense altar, the golden incense altar. And how many times must we really enter in before that golden incense altar to make intercession for one another, and to pray for God's purpose, the going on of his plan and purpose here on this earth. And so it pertains very much to our prayer life, which should be part of our everyday life. And for this, we need this wave and heave offering. You know, the classic example, I think, is on the night of the prayer meeting. In Fountain Valley, we have it on Tuesday here. I think it's Wednesday, right? And how many times actually, in my own experience, Tuesday is like always the toughest day at work, and it's always the most tiring, and that's the day when you come home and just deflated and tired, exhausted. And this is really an opportunity to gain Christ as this wave offering, the resurrection life. And it took so much power, right? The verse we read in Ephesians chapter 4, his mighty power. And this is, it's chapter 1, sorry. His mighty power. Have we ever thought about how much power it took to really bring him out of the grave and raise him up from the dead? And this mighty power is also able to work in us. We have to have this faith that he's able to do it. And saints, I say I've experienced this many times, especially when it comes to prayer. I say, Lord, I need your resurrection life right now. And he is able to raise me up and dispel all of the death that is in me.
Amen.
So, and then also this heave offering. When we pray, we're not praying, as our brother said, beggarly prayers. Amen. Sometimes we're so, Lord, please. Please, please do this and please do that. And even when we're praying for the Lord's purpose, Lord, please help the saints. And it's so defeated. But why are we not praying from the throne of God? Because we're experiencing the heave offering. He's the ascended one. He's sitting on the throne and we are ascended together with him. Right? We are raised up together with him. So how much our prayers ought to be from the throne, that we are saying, Lord, thank you for your victory. You already have the victory, and you're doing it in us now.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for this wave and heave offering.
Amen.
May we experience it much, much more in the coming days.
Amen.
Just by y'all sharing and the brother also sharing, and at the shape and the picture there, just remind me one verse in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Yes, this picture of wave offering raised up from death by all his power in all forms of death, and this ascension for his full authority in heaven and on the earth. This is the true hope for us to have the anchor of the soul. Even the life can bring us into any darkness, and the death also in those darkness, but we can still, by full assurance of faith, by the anchor of this soul, enter into the presence behind the veil and make intercession together with him who's been praying for us day and night. Praise the Lord.
Amen.